You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
Never filtered, always fun.
Not like it was in junior where you try and cheese out the second assist. You skate over to the ref and be like, I touched that, actually.
I think that's how I got my only assist.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
This Iron Maiden? Run to the Hills?
No. It's not Run to the Hills.
God.
Listen to that guitar, though. Listen to that, just shredding. A family day miracle.
30 beers before shredding this one.
You can tell when there's 80s music, man, it sticks out from a mile away.
It's hair metal.
Big time. I can get behind this on a holiday Monday. The boys are in here.
We're the only ones.
A lot of people that were supposed to be in here.
Doesn't it piss you off, though, like all the other the desks? It's pretty scarce out there.
Oh, man. You know who you can go into the foxhole.
Like, we don't honor Family Day, but everyone else just says, I'm taking it off anyway.
Well, this
is, we're in here.
This is what we...
Blows.
But every time you complain about it, but you should take the day off.
We do have that ability. It's not a communist regime around here.
Hey, let me ask you guys this. I was pretty close to just sending an email saying, I'm not coming in. I'm not doing this.
Yeah, but you got to give enough leeway.
Because I had my three kids today. It was family day, and I had to drop them off early because I had to come to work.
Right.
It's family day.
2-3 weeks ago, you could have made that call. You know how I do that every year, Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
But in like November, I'm like, hey, heads up. You can't call day of. That's the problem.
Why?
Because who's going to replace you?
Yeah,
doesn't matter. You two could have floated the show.
We could have, but what if I pulled that? What if at 3 o'clock I decided I'm not coming in and you two,
it would have been at 9.
You? It's the Jamie McLennan show.
What if we both bailed and Noodles was solo all day?
I would have done it.
What would have been your routine?
I would have done all calls if I was stuck solo.
Nope. I would have brought Mulls in. So Mulls and I would have had a lot of conversations. We would have talked some music. We would have got into current events. We would have made fun of Steph. I think it would be just
that's your go-to material. Actually, speaking of that, bringing other people in over the weekend, I listened to a bit of Duthie's podcast.
How was it?
Very well done. No, it's very good.
Now,
James is very good at it.
Let's put you on the spot. Bobcast?
I've heard a bit of the Bobcast.
Or Rubber Boots?
I'm not going down that road.
Exactly.
I'm not picking one or the other. No way. Who would you guys pick if you had to? If you're on a deserted island and you can either have Duthie's podcast or Bob's podcast.
I just want music. Top 20 hits.
That's a future headlines cop-out right there.
It is, because there's no way I'm choosing one or the other.
Probably. Well, mine's going to be kick-started pretty soon, so I'm not commenting.
The Dogcast?
The Dogcast will be coming at you
and it's gonna
very
be
soon.
Two whole episodes before he packs it in.
Why do you think it's only going to be two?
I didn't say
suck?
It. Talk to him,
no,
man.
No, it'll be great. But then you're going to say,
I'm in more of a supportive mind now.
It's going to be too much work, and you're going to say, to hell with this. And somebody's going to phone in or text in and piss you off. And then whoever produces it is going to be a pain in your ass. And you're going to say, that's it. I'm done.
No way.
I'm supporting. I got in trouble on Friday.
I've got a sponsor. I'm already.
Oh, really? You're jump-starting everything, huh?
You got it.
I got in trouble on Friday because I don't support you guys enough.
You're not as supportive as we'd like, apparently.
Yeah, so I'm turning over a new leaf. I'm right behind you, buddy. Anything I can do to help, I'll be there.
Well, I think
what do you
it's...
Think of that?
I don't know. I think our,
you don't support that, Noodles?
No, because I think okay. We have to be honest. This show is about honesty, too.
Generally speaking, yes.
We talked about you,
the show is a podcast, too, right?
Yeah, we podcast every hour on iTunes. We do very well on iTunes.
We didn't talk about anybody's training regimen this weekend.
I got out there for a couple of walks.
Couch to 10K.
Actually, I had an interesting moment on Saturday because Aaron was working, so I had Everly on my own, and it's a long day. It's a really long day, so you got to break
it
up.
You can't say that around females.
Oh, I know.
Because
whenever I bring it up.
Really, huh? One day a week you got the kid for the day?
I know that.
I used to call it babysitting when I used to watch my...
Oh, you can't call your own parenting babysitting. You are asking for the doghouse.
Just say you're watching the baby.
Yeah.
Even that one's tough.
But that's tough.
Your
because,
kid.
Yeah, you're interacting. You're supposed to be parenting, right? Which I was. I broke up the day and we went for a walk. We ended up at the community center my first public moment where I knew I had to follow her, but I knew I could be in trouble. She walked white right into the women's bathroom.
Oh.
Like, it was one of those where you don't open the doors. You know what? Like, the ACC and stuff, you just walk in. Like, the men's is left, women's is right. She went bombing in. I had to go get her.
How'd it go?
I survived.
Did you yell, like, I'm coming in?
Oh, yeah. I gave it the, Everly, I'm coming. Like, kind of like, hey, just in case something weird's going on in there.
Something weird. What did you expect?
I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on in there.
All right, fair
enough. I want to know what went down in New Orleans, Louisiana over the weekend.
That's more, I mean, we
that's in our wheelhouse.
That's more podcast talk, though, really.
Well,
because
we're live on the air now, man.
Straight scoop.
We need some scoops. And our next guest, he was down there moving and shaking.
Legend.
Here's Rod Black. What's happening, Rod?
Does that make it the Rodcast?
Yes.
I like that.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm a little injured.
You sound banged up, bro.
Yeah, I've got a sprained liver. it's just one of those things. It happens. But it was good. It was good.
Would you say you survived? Did you survive New Orleans? Like, how did you define
Gloria Gaynor'd it. Yeah, I will survive. We just got back this afternoon. Right back at Family Day. Isn't that fun? Isn't that fun? Just get right back at Family Day. Hey, honey, here's the kids.
Yep. Just, I'm sure you felt like $1 million at that point.
Yeah. It was a good weekend, though. I mean, I don't know. You guys, I think, have been talking about going down to Nolens. Have you ever been, by the way?
No.
I have.
No.
Oh, Noodles knows what it's about then. it's a comparison between Vegas, a little, and Zombieland, pretty much. That's about it. 'Cause it is nuts, man. Those people. And how about this one? Like, what idiot had the NBA All-Star Game scheduled the same weekend as the week that Mardi Gras begins?
Oh, wow.
Dude.
I have to go buy new shoes because Jack and I, we had to walk everywhere. The traffic was horrendous. I cannot tell how many times I've tripped over somebody's beads, a body, or puke. So it was like, it's like, come on. And in the middle of it, they schedule the Betty Ford All-Star Game, which is like, you know, like, come on. But it was, it is, you guys know, the All-Star Games are what they are, but it was nowhere near what Toronto was last year.
Well, Rod, we were trying to figure out how we could get maybe some sort of PG story out of you, and I figured, is there a time frame, maybe? Was there a time where it's 5:30 in the morning, and instead of going to bed, you went for breakfast? Was there anything like that?
You know what? I honestly only had one night like that. I must be getting old, you guys. And plus, you know, when you are down there and you're with Jack Armstrong, I'm pretty much his bodyguard. So it's like, you know, you got to look after him because Jack Armstrong can go deep. This man goes deep, 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 deep. We did have one night. It was fortunately we didn't have to work till late the next day, and we were out with our buddy Charles and Kenny Smith and the TNT crew, and it was pouring rain too. And so we ended up at the Kenny Smith party, and we were at Charles, and we ended up, I think, I don't know what time it was because it starts late, guys. And you know, there's no museums open at that time, so you know, you can't go to a museum. So we ended up, I think it was, it was late, like around 4:30. Jack goes, Roddy, let's go to a dive bar. I don't even know what the hell a dive bar is.
Did you find out?
Yeah, I did. You know, it's a bar, it's a dive that plays some music. This place didn't have any music. It was like about 5:30, I think. And Jack and I, some MLSA folks in there, and of course Jack had to plug the jukebox. Ooh. And you know, and when Jack plugs a jukebox, like first of all, if you ever go for karaoke with Jack, who I love dearly, by the way, and we all do. When Jack has karaoke, you have to call the jaws of life in to get the microphone out of his hand because this guy is like the karaoke hog. Anyway, by the time he was finished that, by the time we got back to the hotel, it was an ugly, ugly night. I was hurting the next day. So yesterday I basically took the day off to recuperate. And by the way, I think a lot of the players did too, based on that performance last night in the All-Star game.
It feels that way, doesn't it? Like the players have a good time.
Yeah, they do. I think it's a fan fest. We always, every time it comes around, hockey, basketball, football, certainly baseball still got the best All-Star game, I think. But, you know, you just, nobody plays defense, nobody plays hard, and it really is truly for the fans, and it's a showcase for the players to strut their stuff. The NBA is unlike anything else. You guys remember last year what it was like, and you know they are all their own logo and they're all their own image, so they all have their own parties. And it's quite something. It's like Cirque du Soleil, and you know, in the sports world, and it is crazy. And I think, you know, that shows in the game. Unfortunately, the NBA All-Star Game, by the way, you know, a couple decades ago when Michael was playing, they actually played defense. They played hard. They went to double overtime. I remember in Michael's last, in his last All-Star Game, I think it was 2003. They went to double OT, and the final score I think was like 145-141. And that's double overtime. Last night, they almost had that in the third quarter. So, you know, it is what it is.
Rod, going into the All-Star game, one of the storylines where I didn't see a whole lot of it through TV. I know everyone was tweeting, it's such a big deal. But Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, I mean, did they socialize at all? Did they interact? Or was it still, I can't stand you and you can't stand me and let's just try to get through this?
O-Dog, and it was. There's a cold war between those two. We were fortunate. We had Nick Stauskas with us, and Nick's become a great young broadcaster, and he's obviously a great young player. And you know, he there was a viral video that went out. It was all over the States. Nick was talking to Russell Westbrook, giving him a handshake, and Durant walked right by and just gave him the death stare. No, I think they truly do. You know, there's some venom there between the two of them. And they played like they, you know, you should play as a professional last night. And then everybody was singing Kumbaya for a moment. But guess what? They, you know, there's still a real big chip on the shoulder for Westbrook. So it was nice to have that storyline, actually, because otherwise you're talking about the dunk contest that wasn't a very good dunk contest and all the other things. And you know, it was good this time because there's labor peace. Everything's good in the NBA, but they had the Durant Westbrook saga going on. LeBron against Charles, would they talk? Charles still not talking to LeBron. He said he won't. And you know what, the great one this whole weekend, I actually had a great conversation. I met up with Charles Oakley, and he wasn't kicked out of any place, but you know, I love that man, and I feel so bad for what happened. And you know, he knows he's at fault, but he says it's water under the bridge. But I'll tell you what, he's not going back to Madison Square Garden anytime soon. So you know what the thing is? You guys know, you played the game at the highest level. You know, in hockey, too. It might be nice guys away from it sometimes, but believe me, if there is a rivalry or a feud, it lingers on. And I guess the best one I can tell you, think about Angelo Mosca and Joe Capp and how long that feud went on. So maybe Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant 40 years from now at the NBA Legends will go at it with canes. I'm not sure, but no, there's definitely a feud there.
That would be incredible to see one of them hit the other guy with the cane and the other guy pop up and just smoke him with a right hook. I don't think we'll ever see that
You know
again.
What? You've seen NBA players fight. There wouldn't be a fight.
No, it wouldn't happen. With legend of the show, Rod Black, obviously during the game, a lot of people started tweeting about rumors that DeMarcus Cousins could be on the way out of Sacramento, and just shortly right after the game, it was made official. He is, in fact, going to the host city. He was going to stick around in New Orleans. What was the buzz like around the rink or around the stadium when all this news started breaking down?
Yeah, Brian, it was shocking. You know, it was like Jack and I and Nick are getting ready to do our hit, and then you know, we had heard there were some, you know, there were rumors all week long. And this is a crazy time, by the way, for the NBA trade deadline, right, you know, buttressed up against the back end of the NBA All-Star break. It's rarely like this. And by the way, there are very few trades ever of any significance. Well, it's different now because of the way the contracts are built now and you know, the way the league is structured. Everybody's kind of going for it right now. So we knew something was up. And Nick, who played with DeMarcus Cousins, we had been talking about it all weekend that there's a possibility he could be moved before the trade deadline. Little did we know. I mean, the guy only played 2 minutes, and obviously, Vlade Divac and the Pelicans got together, you know, during the All-Star break, and that's one of the things too. I mean, the GMs are all there, so what a perfect time to make the deal. And maybe because it's such a big deal, they wanted to save the moving cost. I don't know, but my goodness, I mean, it changes the scope in the West. Suddenly, the New Orleans Pelicans, they are in, and I believe they begin the rest of the season in 11th place in the West. Well, you know what? Right now, that team is easily a playoff contender. I mean, that's how good DeMarcus Cousins is. The other side is that DeMarcus Cousins has a bad reputation out there. But I think that, and here, by the way, a bad reputation, and he's going to New Orleans. My God, I could give him my log. Does he not understand? No. But no, I mean, I think it's going to change the scope. Now everybody else is going to start moving. You watch. There's going to be more trades in the West. We heard Jimmy Butler's name's been bantied about so much over the last few days. Maybe Boston. Boston's got to make a move, you got to think, to keep up with the Raptors. And if they do, the Raptors might make a move. And so, yeah, I think that the dominoes started with the Ibaka deal. And then last night, Jack was just shaking his head. He said, I cannot believe this just happened. And if you heard Stephen A. Smith today, did you guys hear Stephen A. Smith?
No, what was he saying?
It's a heist. It's a heist, is what he's saying.
Just ranting, huh?
Yeah, and then how Sacramento got absolutely done in, and it looks like they may have got fleeced in this deal.
I'm with you on that, and Stephen A., for that matter. Great stuff, buddy, and get back at it with Family Day. We appreciate you, too, in doing this today.
For you guys, anytime, and I think I'm going to find a pillow somewhere.
Go shut it down.
Hey, listen, if they ever go back to New Orleans, I am pushing. Forget Stauskas and Jack. I'm bringing you guys.
Get us down there, Rod.
We'll go.
We'll take care of you, buddy.
We'll have a Mardi Gras band. We'll play some jazz.
Yes.
And you know what? There's some really good libraries there, guys, that we could visit.
I'm sure there would be. We'll investigate. We'll get down there.
Later.
There he is. Rod Black surviving his weekend in New Orleans.
Injured liver.
We've all been on that disabled list.
Yes, we've all been day-to-day with dehydration.
Mm-hmm. It happens.
There's players. I think there's baseball players have been hungover where they can't make it to the game.
Oh, yeah.
They've also pitched perfect games.
That's true.
That's the thing. It can go both ways. He's right, though, about New Orleans. I mean, if they get in, Golden State's probably still going to win that series, but that would not be fun.
No.
First round of the playoffs, and you got to go up against Boogie Cousins and Anthony Davis. That would not be fun for any team. No. I don't think anyone wants to see them get in out West.
Why is he called Boogie?
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
I don't know.
Is he just the big boogers or what?
Probably moves quick.
I'm sure you can Google it. We'll find out.
We'll find the reason behind his nickname.
Mm-hmm. Darren Dreger, our hockey insider, will join us in studio. You all right over there?
Are you okay?
I'm stumbling.
Your voice is...
Yeah, it's Family Day, man. It's the final hour.
You screwed up the exit, the extra to Rod. Thanks for truing this.
Yeah, it was terrible. It wasn't good. Well, I would have thrown a lifeline out to you guys if you threw one back to me.
I was just about to, but he coughed into the mic.
I did. That was...
I didn't bring that up.
I brought it up.
Did you catch that, Marky?
I looked right away to Mark.
I have a cough. I've been coughing all day, and I've been late in the button a few times.
All right.
I don't think it's a rat's ass, though. It's Family Day. I'm not supposed to be here.
We're all good. All right, Dreger in studio on the Trouba suspension, the Leaf game tomorrow night, looking back on the Leafs weekend. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050. Only two games in the NHL tonight, but playoff implications pretty much every single night. Florida's in St. Louis, and Florida's been on fire recently. And they're tracking the Maple Leafs at this point. They're right there, right in it, in the Atlantic Division for that second wild card. We've had a poll question up all afternoon asking people, who is the biggest threat for the Maple Leafs to make the playoffs right now? Is it Florida, the Islanders, the Flyers? The Overdrive poll question is brought to you by Colt Hockey. Reinvent your game with the stick that'll last three times longer than your regular composite. Colt Hockey, designed by hockey players for hockey players. Visit ColtHockey.com. Darren Dreger, our hockey insider in studio. And this hockey insider is brought to you by Finance It. Quite the race we've got going on in the East now, Dregs. I mean, the Atlantic Division, with Montreal coming back and Florida winning games, Boston winning, Buffalo even winning. You got six teams right there fighting it out.
And these are the games that Babcock was hoping for. You know, the games that matter, the meaningful games where the kids can appreciate the experience or at least learn from it, you know, as they're going through the trials and tribulations. And, you know, that's what it is at this stage of the season. But nobody's taking their foot off the pedal anytime soon around the Leafs.
You just mentioned Babcock. I think it was, I don't know when, he was on Leafs lunch. He said, if anybody's thinking the Leafs are going to do anything on deadline day, just find something else to do.
Yeah.
Is that just to kind of temper expectations, or is that reality? Is that truth? Is that – what's the motivation for that comment?
Yeah, well, look, maybe to temper the market a little bit. You know, and he's done that right from the day he arrived as head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. You know, last year we're going to feel the pain. You know, you go through that season. So as much as he'd, I'm sure, appreciate a little bit of help blue line or otherwise, you know, he's got to stick to the plan. Now, if a player surfaces that makes sense to them longer term, and it's an affordable price, whoever that player is and whatever the ask is that makes sense, then I'm sure he'd love the help. But I don't think anyone's counting on that happening.
Well, Gord Miller had an interesting question on Leafs Lunch today. He said, would you make a deal that could affect you short term but can help you out down the line? So meaning a player now that might kind of ruin your chances or hurt your chances of making the playoffs this year,
yeah,
but years two, three, four down the line, you're going to be better off for it. Would you do that?
But what you're talking about, though, and I didn't hear the question, but we've all kind of nibbled on this, haven't we, over the past couple of months? You're talking about Nylander. You're talking about
JVR. I would never talk
about
JVR possibly, but never Nylander.
No, but that's what, again, if you're looking for a piece, like Brandon Montour, if everybody believes he's the defenseman that the Toronto Maple Leafs have to chase, I don't know that he is or isn't. I know that the ask for that guy is appreciably through the roof. It's going to take a considerable piece or pieces. So I think that's what Gord is alluding to. You do it?
See, that one's interesting to me. To get back to your question in a moment, but this Montour kid, isn't he 22 or 23?
Yeah,
just he's breaking
not,
in.
He's not even in the league. Like, why would the price be so high for this guy?
If he's, it's supply and demand.
Yeah, like, what is he, the mid-late bloomer that's gone
right
all of a sudden?
Like, I'm not saying he won't be a good player, or whatever, but that seems like a weird ask for Anaheim.
Yeah. Don't forget, and there's this weird connection historically, less so now, between the Leafs and the Anaheim Ducks. You could understand it when Burke was with Toronto and Dave Nonis was with Toronto. But you remember back in the day where they had Justin Schultz and they had Jake Gardner in Anaheim, and people just couldn't wait to see how these two young guys, these young studs, were going to develop into NHL defensemen. And the Maple Leafs, absolutely without question, when they made that trade, were 100% zeroed in on Justin Schultz. That was the guy they wanted, and
really?
They ended up settling on Jake Gardner. So I guess credit to Bob Murray and the Ducks scouting department for continuing to not only draft these players, but develop them and create this illusion that they're must-haves, even though we haven't seen it
yet. No kidding.
Yeah, good point.
With Darren Dreger, a hockey insider, as to what Gord brought up on Leafs Lunch, you know, I think it depends on what kind of value you're getting in return, right?
Like, if we're talking, be pretty darn good.
That's what I'm saying. Like, would a couple of second-round picks help you in the future? Presumably they could if you pick the right guys, but I'm
right.
not doing that right now for
no.
James Van Riemsdyk or anything like that.
And did you guys watch Noah Hanifin last night?
Looked okay. I mean,
I just know that there was lots of internal discussion, you know, before settling, of course, settling, what a terrible word when thinking back on the Marner draft and how he's turned into the player that he is. And
I think they're pretty damn happy that they picked Mitch Marner.
Oh, without question.
Yes.
But there would have been, again, a fair bit of debate inside that room, even though Mark Hunter has a strong, strong voice.
Well, the word is that Babs wanted Hanifin. He's the guy that...
Nonis wanted Hanifin, I can tell you that. And that was, again, they're going back and forth on Marner and Hanifin. And, of course, you wouldn't take the do-over if it was afforded to you now. But there's whispers around Hanifin and around the Carolina Hurricanes. For me, it's way too early, you know, for Carolina to even remotely consider trading a piece like that. Unless, again, the rate of return is so terrific that you have to consider it.
Right.
But have we seen enough of Noah Hanifin yet? I was told, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'd be interested to hear what you guys say. I've always been told that you don't know what you have in an NHL defenseman
right.
until he's played 300 NHL games.
Yeah.
And if at game 300, he's a real good player. Like Jeff Petrie, and I'm sure I'll be corrected if I'm wrong here by Twitter, but he hadn't played 300 NHL games when he was traded by the Edmonton Oilers to the Montreal Canadiens. And... it's worked out pretty
he's
well.
Turned out
in fact,
pretty well
for
yeah.
Montreal.
So
I think it's early on Hanifin, but if there's even a shred of truth
yeah.
to the possibility that he could be
right.
in play between now, the summer, whenever, I think you gotta.
You can say whatever you want about how many games it takes a defenseman to. What's it taking? 50-something games. We already know Mitch Marner's a stud.
Yeah, we know what Marner's all about,
terrific.
And you know we know I think for the most part what Nylander's all about too, and. Carolina's another team, though, right? They got a lot of young defensemen, and they could probably use some help up front. They could use some offense. Like, that's yeah. the kind of matches that I think most people here in Toronto are trying to trying to find. Where is Toronto going to seek out that defense? Is it Anaheim? Is it Carolina? Philly's loaded with them. Minnesota's loaded with them.
Yeah.
Right?
And maybe that's why Babcock, again, delivering some truth on Leafs lunch. Cool your jets, folks. Maybe in the summer we can pull off something like that, but probably not.
Well, and I was thinking about it last night because, you know, watching these two players, Bozak and JVR in particular, on Saturday night, they did not have very good nights. And you could see that Marner wasn't with them, and they were missing Marner in particular. They both bounced back last night. But Bozak's value, based on the lack of depth at that position in this organization, is probably higher than people give him credit for. Because he's always been a polarizing guy, a debatable guy. What's his true value? Who is he? Where Big should contract. He be in the lineup?
Why is he the number one centerman on the Leafs?
Exactly. And that was by default. It wasn't his fault. I mean, they told him to get on the ice. He went out there and played. But he's got one more year left at $4.2 million. If, for whatever reason, he's not here, who's playing center? You know, like, they could sign someone conceivably, but what, are you going to move Ben Smith up and call up the GOAT?
Nah, it's not happening.
You know, I mean, the middle of the ice is...
No. He's been pretty valuable this year. He's special teams.
I agree.
He has
big face-offs, and he had great chemistry with Mitch Marner. He's...
Right. Now, I don't think he'll be here. Impressive. I don't think they'll sign him after next year. I can't picture that scenario. But I guess I'm saying watch what you wish for, and I'm looking myself in the mirror because there are times where I'm like, this guy, you know, maybe move on, maybe do this, that, or the other. Right. But the options are just not there in this organization.
Well, do they hope that Nylander ultimately is going to be a center for the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Babcock has been saying that anyway.
I mean, he's slow playing him now, as he should. And then part of that is protection and, you know, making sure that he can appreciate both sides of the NHL game. But I think in the longer term, that's what they're looking at.
Right. You know? I think that's what they hope.
That's what they hope. So now you've got, you know, Matthews as your lock is number one. I mean, Nazem Kadri's been terrific, has he not?
Yeah, he's been great for them.
You know, more often than not, and that kid deserves credit because few players in this market in the last decade have taken more of a beating publicly than Nazem Kadri. Some of it, rightfully so.
He's been very good.
A lot of it.
I mean, they're set up top. Matthews and Kadri are locked in. Those guys are going to be your number one and two centers, but the way Babcock rolls out his lines, the third and fourth line centers are going to play collectively 25 minutes a night, give or take.
Yeah.
That's a lot of ice.
Can Freddie Grotje develop into a third line center?
No way. No,
I don't see a third line.
But, I mean, he'd be solid four, and there's a lot of people that are saying that why wouldn't you give the GOAT this type of experience right now? I know that.
Instead of Ben Smith.
Yeah.
I could understand
that. If you're going through the process, if you're not going to make moves at the deadline.
Yeah. You know what the Maple Leafs have to do, and man, is it a tall order. But other teams do it. You know, Jimmy Rutherford was made fun of by other general managers when he made the deal with Edmonton to acquire Justin Schultz. Well, he knew what he needed, and what he needed was just a third-pairing guy, a depth guy with the ability to skate and move the puck and help him on his power play. Right. The kid got an opportunity in Pittsburgh, won a Stanley Cup, and continues to thrive for the most part.
Yeah, he's been fantastic.
He has.
So,
like Jeff Petrie, there's one thing in common. They both thrive after they leave Edmonton.
But credit to Marc Bergevin and credit to Jim Rutherford for recognizing that these guys weren't on the scrap heap. They needed a different opportunity, and they needed, you know, a bit more confidence in their ability. And the development of their game. Lou's got to find that guy. In a salary cap world, or you continue to bury money, right? And you buy your way out of a jam. But sooner or later,
there's a limit
that comes
on that.
Back to bite you.
Yeah, exactly. For sure. With Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider. Ottawa lost last night somewhat controversially, and they dealt with some big injuries. But it sounds as if
Stone's going to be all right.
Stone might be okay. We don't know about Hoffman. Obviously, Bobby Ryan, though, he is going to be out long-term. I mean, what's your read on Ottawa and how they're feeling about this situation?
I mean, rattled this morning. I can tell you management, 100% rattled. You know, they get better news than they probably expected in all three of those players making the trip. You know, I'm not going to be Dr. Bob and suggest that there should be more wrong with Mark Stone. But given his history of concussions, you know, the way we saw Mark Stone lying on his back on the ice last night, the direct contact of that hit to the head, that looked pretty nasty to me. I'd be surprised if he plays, but you don't know. I mean, with all due respect to Hoffman and to Tommy Wingles, You lose Mark Stone for an extended period, which is more than a couple of games, as Noodles will tell you, because you do a lot of their games.
Yep.
In so many ways, he's the engine that drives that team.
He really is.
And, you know, that will be problematic. So if they escape it and everybody's good to go in a game or two, then I think they've dodged a pretty big bullet.
Big time. And I'm sure they're not happy about only two games for Jacob Trouba. It felt like it should have been more to all of us. We all agree. We thought it would have been more.
Ugly hit.
I stopped guessing on that stuff, honestly.
That's the problem,
because
right?
I absolutely, you can build a case, and I'd buy it automatically that it should have been more. I think Winnipeg would argue fairly unfairly that Mark Stone could have, should have done more to avoid that hit after Jacob Trouba had locked in on it. Again, that's their position to defend.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you think Winnipeg feels coming into Toronto and playing Austin Matthews? And we'll see if Marner's back. It doesn't sound like it, right? We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
See how they feel playing against the speed of the Toronto Maple Leafs without their best defenseman in the lineup. It's going to be a challenge.
Now you're going to be missing Trouba, Myers, and Anstrom. That's a big blow.
Three top four or five defensemen, right?
Yeah,
that's a big hit. And Winnipeg with two big wins over the weekend, at Montreal on Saturday, at Ottawa on Sunday. And Montreal's another team. I don't know what to expect coming out of a bye week for any of the teams throughout the NHL. There's been a lot of problems. A lot of teams have come out cold. That's how Montreal looked to me on Saturday. If it wasn't for Carey Price, that could have been a lot uglier.
Yeah.
But are they expecting Julian to have the magic touch? Is there enough time here to get this team back on track? Because they look completely lost.
They do.
They look like they're in big trouble.
I mean, he's not coming in as a savior, but he's there to stop the bleeding. And instantly, there should be some damage control. Does that mean that they're going to reel off a handful of wins? Probably not. But he's going to do what every coach does when he comes into a fresh environment. And he's going to focus on the defensive zone, right? Structure. We've got to develop more structure. Therrien liked to play a speed game, and it came at some costs. I mean, they were not good enough defensively, and they weren't generating any goals to offset their lack of defensive zone coverage. So, you know, that's what they're going to do. They're going to focus on the defensive zone and hope that the offense just develops and feeds off that. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see some tinkering. I don't think that you're going to see much change with the Dano line with Pacioretty and Radulov. But I think they like the idea of Galchenyuk and Gallagher forming some type of chemistry. And maybe you put, you know, Byron on the other side, because he can skate and he's a little bit nifty and he's got a bit of grit to him. And you hope that your third line with Lekkonen and Plekanec and Shaw kind of gets something going.
Well, Galchenyuk's an interesting one, because when everything went down with Hitchcock in St. Louis, we were talking about Tarasenko all the time. This is what Tarasenko wanted. He wanted Hitchcock off his back, go out there and do your thing. By all accounts, Galchenyuk and Therrien didn't necessarily see eye to eye.
Oh, no, they didn't.
Shouldn't there be more pressure on this kid? Everyone keeps talking about him.
Galchenyuk is also in the same situation that Mark Scheifele was. Everyone, when I talked about Winnipeg, I'm like, a big part of their future and success, can Mark Scheifele turn into a superstar centerman?
Yeah.
He has.
I agree.
Has Galchenyuk? Not even close.
Not yet.
No. I mean, real good player, but he hasn't become that guy like Scheifele has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he has to take ownership. I 100% agree with that.
I agree.
Because right now, they're not convinced that he's a centerman. Again, you know,
right now I'm not either.
Well, and that's why the Hanzel rumors won't go away. They feel like if they could bring in a Martin Hanzel, he slides into that number two spot. Galchenyuk is likely shifted onto the left wing there, and they love the way they stack up.
Yeah, but who the hell's their number one centerman? Plekanec again?
No, Philip Dano. I guess.
Or Hanzel, I guess, if they acquire
him. Or Hanzel if they, you know, because of the size and matchup scenarios.
That's tough to go through Washington, Pittsburgh. I mean, that's tough with that kind of center ice, right?
But the opportunity is there for Galchenyuk. You know, the opportunity is there, because chances are, unless Bergevin changes his mind and wants to give up on one of his kids, including the McCarron kid who's 6'6", then you've got to live and work with what you've got. And I'd probably put some money on the fact that he's not going to be able to get a deal done. They're looking, but he may not get that deal done.
Well, we're getting closer. We'll continue to see where it goes. Thanks for popping in, buddy. We appreciate it.
Okay, happy family day.
You too, man. There's Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. He's coming up on That's Hockey. And this Hockey Insider is brought to you by Finance and Monthly Payment Plans for Big Dreams and Everyday Budgets. We'll get to our best bets and three stars next. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Only two games in the NHL. I don't love this, but I love the value. Florida's been on fire. I'm going to take them at St. Louis tonight. They're paying 210. And Anaheim, they'll roll into Arizona and pick up a win tonight. Only two games. Throw down 20 bucks. You can score 61. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, and matchup stats on your phone. ProLine, get way into the game.
Why didn't you go another sport if there was, well, I guess there's no other
No
game.
Basketball tonight either. And I don't want to go down a road that I'm not familiar with.
You'll struggle tonight TV watching, won't you?
Or oh, big
will you
time.
Go? You're going to do This Is Us with the wife.
Now, those are all, that's on Tuesday nights.
Yeah, you'll watch that.
What is that about, anyway? It's about people's storyline? Like,
I don't know, man. It's a heavy,
like it.
Deep show. I don't like it, but I watch it because...
You're a liar. You said it's a good show.
It is. It's a well-written, like, dramatic, overly heavy, dramatic show, you know? Like,
it is.
It's
about people's problems and
every
different storyline.
Every single tough situation a family could come across. This family somehow has come across it.
And it's only one family?
Yeah, it's only one family. But it's a flashback. Mandy Moore's in it. I'm a fan of Mandy Moore.
Yeah. She does well.
She does well.
She's gritty.
She's a friend of the show. So anyway, that's tomorrow night. I don't know what we're doing tonight. Netflix.
There's lots of good shows on there.
See what Trump is up to.
He's always on.
I could use a press conference from Trump tonight.
Quiet, quiet, quiet.
Three different quiets. Like, play that one more time.
Quiet, quiet, quiet.
It's like it's in the middle of a Christmas song.
Quiet, quiet, quiet.
It does sound like that.
It's awesome.
It does sound like that.
And the little bird flew down to the ground.
Quiet, quiet, quiet.
We should put music on that.
Yeah,
we should. It could be the hottest Christmas single in years. Trump's Quiet, Quiet, Quiet.
Quiet, quiet, quiet.
Anyway, we're all in here. I'm in track pants today, sweatshirt, looking grimy. Your hair is all over the place.
I got Trump hair.
You've got the Trump hair. Here. Noodles, you kind of put together, but they've been posting videos of us, and I guess a lot of people are buzzing about us yelling and screaming about how Doug Gilmore doesn't sound like Doug. He's getting on Legends Row.
I'm extremely disappointed.
I'm right there with you. I think he should be up there. I thought he should have been a lock. He is absolutely the definition of a Maple Leaf legend.
I agree.
And he's not going to be up there. It sounds like he's not going to be up there. Maybe they have a change of mind, change of heart. I don't know. But didn't sound like it. Didn't sound like Shanahan was opening the door to that.
Maybe
sounded like the next guy going up is playing for the team right now.
We could get a petition going, or we could have some of those beatniks that protest could run a protest at the Legends Row.
You want to pay someone to get out there and protest for us?
You can pay. Apparently, it's on Craigslist. You can pay to have protesters show up.
Start a GoFundMe to get Dougie Gilmore up on Legends Row.
Think we should.
A GoFundMe.
To get Dougie.
Dougie G.
I think he should be up there. It's great that Wendell got up there. He should be up there, too. Matt should be up there. All the legends should be up there. The 14 guys that are up there all deserve to be there. It's a great idea. I love it. I fully support it. Get a 15th guy. Gilmore, he's...
I'll take it.
Over the past 30 years, he's the man. The man.
Would be exciting.
It'd be great to see him up there. He got his number retired, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's not awful.
He's in the Hall of Fame. You know, he's had a great, great career.
I just want to know why, though. I'd like to hear an explanation.
I would like to as well. I'd like to
try to tell me something that I'm unaware of.
Give me the breakdown as to why, when his name came up, you decided, no, he's not going up. 14 other guys are going up, but Gilmore's not going up.
That's all I want to know.
You just want to know the criteria.
Yeah. All right, you guys ready for the Overdrive 3 Stars of the Day brought to you by Bab Sox?
Yes.
Overdrive 3 Stars of the Day.
I'll go third star and make it a 3-pack. Our NBA broadcasters from TSN that went down there, Jack Armstrong, Nick Stauskas, and Hot Rod Black.
Mm-hmm. Rod joined us earlier today.
I'm going to give us three on family day being in here. whenever
which
Wyatt's.
Is a joke.
And Mullen too.
Throw Mullen in. Yeah. Steph gets a shout out.
Wow, Fergs. So she gets a half.
Fergie's back there.
Fergie's the best.
Fergie's the man. First star, Dougie Gilmore.
Yeah, let's give him
Dougie
some
deserves
love.
That kind of recognition.
Let's build our own statue and put it up.
That's what we should do. Start a GoFundMe
to
build.
Make a statue and drop it off in the middle of the night.
With Dougie scoring game one against St. Louis in double overtime when he's like up against the boards.
Yes.
Want to do that?
Or you put him right up against the bench.
That's exactly what has to happen. We're starting that. It's happening. Let's get Dougie the statue.
Let's do it.
Up and rocking. Overdrive 3 Stars of the Day is brought to you by Babs Socks. Add a little grit to your wardrobe with hockey's greatest game day ritual. Pull up your Babs Socks and support the team. Leafs Jets tomorrow night. We'll be back teeing that up. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.